Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, and we pick it up in verse 3 as he writes to believers that are struggling with so much in their life. And he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort." Isn't that beautiful? The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. He flows his comfort in, and we flow his comfort out. Amen. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and for your salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. So please, dear God, as we open up your word of truth, may we not only face the challenge of it, but live day to day in the comfort of it, because we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know if it was original to her, or it was a cover version of the song, but I was out in the car this week and I heard the very powerful and very gravelly voice of Bonnie Tyler from Wales singing the song, "It's a Heartache." Have you ever heard that song? It's a heartache. It's a heartache. Hits you when it's too late. Hits you when it's down. And you know, the way that she sings it, it's hard not to feel the pain and the sense of loss of what she's obviously, in the song, seeking to survive. Yes, it's a song about love. You could argue it's a soppy song about love. But as I listened to it, I reflected on the fact that it could just as easily be a song about life. For whilst we may not have had to walk hundreds of miles to survive the conflict in the South Sudan, as we've heard this morning, thousands of them there have had to do. And by the way, please do give generously to the BMS appeal this year. Use those envelopes so that we don't have to collect any up. And whilst we may not either have had to endure the horrors of war ourselves, like those that we remember on this day have done so, to ensure that our freedom survives and we can enjoy the blessings of peace, nonetheless, I'm pretty sure that to one degree or another, we are all survivors of something in one way or another. Isn't that true? Maybe we have survived, or perhaps, to put it better, we are still trying to survive being bullied or abused in some way. Maybe we are struggling to come to terms with a sudden illness. Maybe we're suffering for what we believe and in this world so easily get blasted for. Maybe we are suffocating for want of just a simple word of encouragement. I don't know. But I do know that just as the Royal British Legion in 1921 and Help for Heroes in 2006 were both set up to bring the necessary financial aid and much needed emotional support to the many servicemen and women of our armed forces who have been wounded or injured or incapacitated in the line of their duty, so too does the Apostle Paul here write to this church at Corinth, who are completely up against it, with what I am calling help for the hurting. Now, if you're here this morning and you're hurting, or you're struggling, or you're just about surviving when really in your heart you want to be thriving, this is a word for you. And I know it's a word for me, because we all hurt at different points, don't we? It's help for the hurting. Help for those to whom life has delivered a body blow of some sort or another. Help for those who, if you like, have had the air sucked right out of them. And perhaps in a way that they never even saw it coming, as their marriage failed, or their friendship dissolved, or their job was lost, or their health was taken. There's no wonder that 10 times in just those four verses that we read together, in both its noun and its verb form, Paul uses this word comfort. Why? To bring help to the hurting. And it's a compound word, that word comfort. Comfort. It literally means in the Greek, with strength. Which is encouraging, isn't it? So when we come to comfort someone in the Lord, what are we doing? We're helping to give them power, to give them strength, to give them encouragement for whatever it is they're going through. And so we've got this simple thought to treasure on Remembrance Sunday this year. As we think of those who are presently hurting, as well as those in the past, as we've remembered, who have hurt for us. And the thought is simply this. I couldn't put it in any other way, but I hope you can remember this, if nothing else. God can use the hurt in our life to equip us to help those who are also hurting. I think that's one of the most beautiful truths of Scripture, and it comes from what Paul is telling this church in Corinth. And he knew something about it himself. If we'd have actually gone on to read into verse 8, Paul gives us a taste of how bad things have got for him. This is the Apostle Paul. Things that are so far, he says, beyond his ability to endure, that he tells us. What does he tell? He tells us he despairs even of life itself. This is the Apostle Paul. So if you're somebody here this morning struggling, striving, down, beaten, bruised, folks, you're in good company. You are in good company. Surviving conflict, as we've seen, or facing challenges, or dealing with catastrophe, is not for the few. It's not for the few. And yet, born out of Paul's hurt is the hope. No matter what the conflict is that we face, that we've got everything we need to survive if we look to the right source and the right supply. And that is God. Amen. Amen. I mean, this is the God who can turn even our misery into ministry. Who else can do that? And he'll do it, I'm going to suggest, in three very simple ways, because I'm a very simple person, as you know. And the first is this, learn to see God's care in the hurt. Whatever you're hurting with this morning, or whatever you have hurt with, or whatever you anticipate to be hurt with, learn to see God's care in the hurt. Let's not judge the Lord by what we're going through. How many people do that? Well, if God really loved me, he wouldn't do this. If God really had a heart for me, this wouldn't be happening to me. Let's not judge the Lord because of what we're going through. Let's look to the Lord in what we're going through. For he is, as Paul writes here in verse 3, and I emphasized it in the reading because it's a beautiful thing to me, he is the Father of compassion and the God of all. In that, I underline it for emphasis, put it in a different color. He is the God of all comfort. Don't you find that wonderful? Actually, again, the word all there means every kind. He is the God of every kind of comfort. He's not just the source of comfort for some particular kinds of trouble, and not your particular kind. No. He's not just the supply of compassion for most of the needs or troubles that we face. No, he is complete in his comfort for all of our needs because he's the God of all comfort. The only time in the Scripture where the phrase is put exactly like this. Folks, if you're here this morning and you're struggling, I want to tell you there's no kind of trouble that we can ever be in. There's no suffering that we may ever have to go through. There's no pain that we might need to endure, that God is not the full source and the full supply of our comfort for. And I encourage you, very simply, learn to see God's care in the hurt. Because people look everywhere else, don't they? I was in the newsagents buying a paper and I saw a bottle of Southern Comfort. And I thought, not even Southern Comfort can deal with the troubles that God of all comfort can deal with. There's no bottle that can do that, is there? I was watching a black and white film not too long ago where the father is blaming God for the sickness of his young daughter and the fact that she was dying of this sickness. And he was holding his daughter's hand and he was telling his daughter, you've just got to hold on. You've just got to hold on. He was trying to bring her some comfort. But almost with her dying breath, the little girl squeezed her dad's hand and said, Dad, if we don't believe in God, what on earth is there to hold on to? I think it's a good question. Are we little more than lemmings, climbing over mountains, wading through rivers, plowing through marshes, just to find some cliff edge somewhere from which we want to plunge into the sea and drown ourselves? Where is the comfort in that? There is none. And that is why, before telling us of this God of compassion and comfort, Paul, right at the beginning of verse 3, says, praise God as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does he do that? Because in the sending, in the suffering, in the sacrificing of Jesus, God was showing us not just that he wanted us to get out of trouble, but that to do it, he was willing to get into trouble for us. Amen. Hey, what a God. How comforting is that? And if you're struggling with any kind of conflict or trouble or difficulty this morning, learn to see God's care in the hurt. Because his comfort alone is strong enough to penetrate the human heart of need and to go the full distance of that need with us. Yes, that comfort may come through a kind or encouraging word from somebody else. That comfort may come through having that someone else whose ear we can bend, whose shoulder we can cry on, or whose arm we can lean upon. But don't ever let us forget that that comfort nonetheless still comes from God, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Learn to see God's care in the hurt. And then secondly, learn to seek God's comfort for the hurt. We can't just stop at seeing God's care in the hurt. We've got to push on and get to the place where we actually want to seek God's comfort for the hurt. This God of all comfort, who the Apostle Paul goes on to say in verse 4, is one who comforts us in all our troubles. Do you know, I read that so many times this week. And I don't know, I think probably if I was being honest with myself, and if you were being honest with yourself, I would have found it a little bit more easier to read and to take if God had said through the Apostle Paul here that he keeps us from all troubles. Wouldn't you? You know, that's the kind of God that some people want, isn't it? The God who keeps us from all troubles. We're never going to have a single problem or a single difficulty. Everything's going to be, you know, plain sailing. No, says Paul. This is the God who comforts us in all our troubles. Jesus said in this world we're going to have trouble, but don't lose heart about it because he's overcome the world. There's nothing that he can't defeat in you that he's already defeated through his death and resurrection. We got a mighty God. Nobody's immune from heartache and hurt, not even the most devoted follower, as Paul makes clear. But we got to seek God's comfort for the hurt and find God's comfort in it. And when we do that, do you know what we'll discover? This is a beautiful thing. We'll discover that one reason that God does not always save us from trouble is for the very reason that he wants us to seek him in that trouble. Some of us wouldn't even know God this morning but for the mess we got ourselves in and the fact that we had nowhere to go but to God, and he was there for us. Grace, marvelous, isn't it? because that's the God of all comfort. I tell you, there are some things that can only be learned in the school of hard knocks. And there are some things that can only be learned in the classroom of conflict. And there are some things that are only there to be learned in the valley rather than on the mountain top. And if you want the Lord Jesus to be more real to you, then at times God's going to allow us to be in a situation where we know our real need of Him. For as Paul goes on to say, just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. You want to overflow in the comfort that God would bring to you? Now, I don't know what you'll have to go through. I don't know that. Paul didn't know what his readers would have to go through in suffering and following Christ, but he did know that to the measure of their suffering for him, their comfort would be never lacking for it. I tell you, if you can get to know the Lord to such a degree that you walked with him as Enoch walked with him, wouldn't it be a marvelous thing to say, well, actually, do you know what? I know it hurts. I know I'm suffering. I know I'm striving. I know I'm struggling. But it's no trouble too, Lord, because look at how close we are in me going through it. You ever listen to Andre Crouch? Anybody here remember Andre Crouch? Pam, John. Some of you don't want to give your age away. I know that. He went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago now. But I tell you, if you struggle with this thought that I'm sharing with you, and it's not a difficult thought to understand, but it is something, a difficult thing to work through, go to YouTube, go to Google, and just Google the words "through it all," and up will come this song by Andre Crouch that over the years, many, many times I've gone to find hope for my own heart in the struggles that I have been going through. Listen to what he sings. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had many questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials came to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon His word. Folks, it gets even better. Listen to this. Feel the key change. Hear the momentum as the choir comes in. I thank God for the valleys. I thank God for the mountains. I thank God for every storm He brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I would never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God, and I've learned to depend upon God's word. Do you know what? When the Lord meets you in that kind of storm and through that kind of conflict and He becomes that real to you, bring the storm on. Amen? Remember our series on Jonah that we finished just recently? Where did Jonah meet God more powerfully, more personally, and more productively? Wasn't on dry land. Was in the belly of that big fish, where he was that desperate, that down, that defeated. He had nowhere to look but up and to seek God in his hurt. I tell you what, if you get to that point down, it's not because God wants to hurt you. It's because he wants you to seek him in your hurt so he can bring his comfort to you. Do you need that comfort this morning? Do you need to be out of the depth in the love of God and feel His arms so warm around you? Well, He's here for you because He's the God of all comfort. As Robert Browning wrote, I walked a mile with pleasure and she chatted all the way, left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow. Never a word, said she. But all the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Some troubles become a prison that lock us away from God's joy and peace. Other troubles become like a hospital where at very best we seem to just cross our fingers and hope that we might get out of the mess and be made well in time. But our troubles, and this brings us to the final thought, our troubles should be a classroom where we learn to become a good steward of our sufferings so that we can pass the lessons learned on and we can share the comfort that we've received to others who are hurting. Here's the thought as we come to the final thing. Don't forget it. God can use the hurt in our life to equip us to help those who are also hurting. So yet learn to see God's care in the hurt. Learn to seek God's comfort for the hurt. And then finally, very quickly, learn to share God's compassion to the hurt or the hurting, if you prefer. For Paul says it's not just that God comforts us for our own good, but he comforts us for the good of others too. I mean, he finishes verse 4 by telling us the reason why this God of all comfort and compassion is for us in all of our troubles. And he says it like this, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You know, if we live too sheltered a life, if we have nothing ourselves to survive, if we don't know personally what real trouble is, what kind of lesson can we give to those and what kind of comfort can we bring to those who are genuinely struggling to go through their own trials and troubles? God does not comfort us to make us comfortable. God comforts us to make us comforters. Understand? That the misery that we have can become a ministry into the lives of other people. Because God's not going to waste a misery or a tear that his people have shed or gone through when he can use it to the blessing of many who may be going through something similar in their life. This is why we've got a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we share in his sufferings, because Jesus suffered with the feelings of weakness and infirmness that we suffer with. And it's why, because of that, who better to go to in your need? He knows how we feel. He didn't come to the earth just to know how I feel. He came to the earth that I might know that he knows how I feel. Doesn't that make the difference? It's not a compliment, is it, to any one of us if people do not feel that they can come up to us and share a problem? No compliment in that, is there? People don't go to an empty well to draw water, do they? I mean, even in our society, we've learned that support groups can be very helpful. But you only become a member of a particular support group if the group know that you've been through what they're struggling now in going through. Isn't that true? I mean, it's easy, isn't it, to give parental advice when you've got no children? I mean, we all know how to bring up other people's children, don't we? And all God's people said, well, we certainly do. I mean, it's easy to say to someone, hang in there when they're in hospital, but you've never been that sick. It's easy to say there's more fish in the sea if you've been rejected in a relationship or you're facing a divorce. And it's easy to say that they're in a better place when you've never lost somebody that you love. Going through trials gives us the credibility to bring God's comfort to other people who are going through the same trials. Who doesn't want that kind of ministry? Who hasn't been blessed by that kind of ministry? That's why we come to Christ as our Savior, because we know that measured against the glory of God, we fall so far short that we can end up feeling completely defeated. And yet he came and he lived and he died and he rose again so that we can know not only have we got the sympathy of a God who loves us, we've got the means of salvation through the God who loved us and gave himself in Jesus Christ to save us. That he who knew no sin became sin for us. Wow. Why? So that we might be made right and become the righteousness of God. I'm not minimizing what you're going through this morning. I wouldn't do that at all. But unless you feel the pain of it, you will know that you'll never have a ministry because of it. You remember that little that little boy was screaming out in his bedroom, and his mum came rushing upstairs. He said, "What on earth is wrong?" And he said, "My little sister's just pulled my hair and I'm hurting." And mum said, "Well, she doesn't know what she's doing." Mum went back downstairs. A few minutes later, there was more screaming from the bedroom. And mum rushes up, opens the door, and this time the little girl's crying. And the boy says, "She knows what it feels like now." You know, if you know what somebody feels like, don't you feel for them? And don't you want to help them? Because that is an expression of the very love of Christ. When trouble knocks at our door, let us not become cisterns of self-pity. Let us become channels of blessing. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God has promised strength for the day, rest for the laborer, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're hurting and you're struggling to survive, it may not be what they're going through in the South Sudan. It may not be what they went through in the war. But if it's a struggle for you, it matters to God. And I want to pray for you, not only that you'll receive the help for the hurt that you've got, but that through it, you will become a means of help to other people that are hurting as well. That's why we have this little area over here after the service. Come and ask somebody to pray with you. Those of you who are hurting, come and get somebody to pray with you. Those of you who've been hurt, come and pray with them. Because, and here's the finish, God gives us help for the hurting, doesn't he? And God can use the hurt in our life to equip us to help those who are also hurting. Let's pray. Father, we bless you for those that were willing to be hurt to give us a life of hope in a country that relishes freedom. There are many of us who had fathers and grandfathers in both the wars. And on days like today, we reflect and remember them and their life, and the way they were to us, and the lessons that we learned from them. And Lord, we pray that something of the overflow of that kind of commitment, that kind of sacrifice, Lord, will be part of our experience too. Us who, in knowing you, who paid the highest price, not simply to lay down your life for your friends, but to make us your friends because you gave your life when we were still your enemies. Lord, that we would reflect that love and comfort and compassion so that others can see whatever it is they're going through, that you're not distant from it, that you're not disinterested in it, but you couldn't be more taken up with it. Bring us to the place, Lord, where perhaps we might get so low that the only place that we can look is on high. Help us in our hurts to look to the God of all comfort, and know your comfort so that we can comfort others who need to know it too. For we pray it and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.